Well, we want to thank you guys for joining us today for the Bonner Breakdown. It has been a little while since we've been here, and with all of the things that have been going on, we are ready to kick off a whole new season. We've got our intern producer, Logan, who is at the wheels today. So we're super grateful that Logan's with us, Logan Knight, he's with us today. So you want to make sure to, if you see Logan around, to say thank you for the work that he's putting in here, or say thank you in the chat, you know, anything like that. But as always, if we are going to start off a new season here at the Bonner Breakdown, and we're going to start off a new episode here, we are going to start with the good report. And I am beyond excited to have Christine DeNova with us here from Life Choices Pregnancy Center and IdaHope Families. And today we're going to primarily focus on IdaHope Families.
Yes.
Today, but you've always worn a lot of hats and done stuff, but welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here. And thanks to Logan for doing all the producing.
Yeah. We're going to get into it, but we got to start with the good report. Okay, we say cheers to the good report. We want to get and make sure everybody, like, if you need to pause the video right now, go pause it. Go get yourself something hot, a nice hot beverage, because it is cold outside today and windy. Get a hot beverage. Go get whatever you need so that you can join us for a cheers to the good report. But let's start with yours. What's your good report?
So I have to brag on my mom a little bit.
Uh-huh.
My husband and I have brought our moms into our home.
And you say moms, so both moms.
Yes, his cool. mother and my mother both mm-hmm. live with us. And we brought them here from, well, they were living in Wisconsin at the time. And it was about over 5 years ago. But Ron's mom has had lots of health issues. Mm. And, you know, that's primarily why we brought them here, so that they, you know, could have family surrounding them as they aged. And Ron's mom has had several bouts. She's on her fourth cancer.
Mm. Wow.
But she just went into remission for that. So we praise God for that. And she had a stroke several months ago. And so Ron and I, you know, we work full time, and my mother has just really stepped in to be with her. She can't be left alone, maybe for 2 hours at a time, and then that's about it. So my mom has really stepped up to just be her companion and assist her in life's duties, and she's really just been an amazing friend to her, as well as her companion. So I really am so grateful for her, and she just has, you know, she does it without any issues, no resentment. Wow. She just is like, this is what I need to do.
This is the
right thing, and so that's it's cool. been amazing.
Wow, yeah, that's really awesome. You know, what a gift.
Yeah.
To be able to do that. That's awesome. Yeah, I was thinking for my good report of, you know, this has been a really fun year for Quinn, my 8-year-old, who's in third grade, homeschooled. And we participate in the school district's homeschool academy with Melinda Rossman, who's the kind of the director there. And there's a whole cohort of some teachers that come in, and they do 4 days a week in there. And so Quinn has been participating in their ski and ride program.
Awesome.
The fact that we live where there's a ski resort is awesome. But the fact that part of your school is that for 8 weeks, you get to rent some skis, go up to the mountain, get educated, get training, right, with a ski instructor, and go play on the mountain with your peers in third grade for 8 weeks is awesome.
It is awesome.
It is just awesome. So kudos to Melinda Rossman and the whole team at the Homeschool Academy. And you know what's fun is Mika was a ski instructor in Colorado for years. She has been just loving going up every Tuesday with the group and being one of the parent instructors and helping out and being able to go up and do that with Quinn and to make space, have enough space in our schedule to be able to do that is just amazing. So that's my good report. You know, there's been a lot of chaos, a lot of craziness, and you know, there's a lot of things nationally and locally that have been difficult for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons all across the board. And so one of the reasons why we do the good report is because those things that are good, we want to focus on those things every once in a while. So we say cheers to the good report. Cheers.
Cheers.
Social distancing. That was quite the...
A little difficult.
But cheers. Cheers. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Christine, let's jump into it a little bit. You know, you've been on the platform here twice, right?
Yes.
You've been in here in the studio, and then we did one online.
Online, yes.
Right? And so you're one of our favorite guests. You're the first person to do the show three times.
Wow. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had the mayor on twice.
Fun.
I've had some different, I'll have Dan McDonald on twice. He's coming on next week, which is great. So,
love
but
Dan.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just kind of fun that we're getting into that place where we're getting repeat guests and things like that. So give the audience and those people who are just discovering the Bonner Breakdown your story. Tell us a little bit about you, kind of your history, background, and then we'll dive in a little bit to what you're doing at Idaho Families.
Sure. Well, I am a mother of an amazing young man. He's a man now. His name is
right.
Cal.
Yeah.
And I am blessed to be married to my husband, Ron DeNova, who is just my champion and my biggest fan. And he's an amazing man.
That's awesome.
And of course, I already told you that we have our moms living with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are so grateful that we get to spend their last years mm-hmm. with us on a daily basis. So that's really special. As far as, like, professionally, mm-hmm. I am in the space that I'm in because God invited me.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I was just a regular corporate business person and, decided that when we moved here from Chicago, my family and I, that, we wanted to just slow down and get more involved in community, in serving, and, you know, be more at home with the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, so kind of stepped away from my corporate job mm-hmm. and was just praying about what does God want me to do. And a couple weeks after that, I got an invitation from a local church to join the staff mm-hmm. and was the first time I ever went into ministry. And it was amazing. My faith grew tremendously
right?
during
yeah.
that process.
Sure.
And then I was there for 6 years. And then when I left there, I was told by two different people after having some prayer time about what does God want for me next. And he drew me to Life Choices Pregnancy Center.
Okay.
So I've been there for 6 years. And about a year ago, mm-hmm. we launched a second ministry mm-hmm. called Idaho Families, and it was birthed mm-hmm. out of the needs of our clients at Life Choices.
Okay. So just touching on Life Choices Pregnancy Center, give us kind of a, for people who might not be familiar, give us kind of the background history in the sense of mission, vision. What is it that Life Choices Pregnancy Center accomplishes?
Well, we are a ministry of Jesus Christ, and our goal really is to support and educate men and women who are facing situations related to unplanned pregnancy,
okay.
abortion,
okay.
sexual health, and family life.
Okay.
And so we surround these women and the fathers-to-be mm-hmm. and the unborn babies with several medical as well as tangible supports.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also offer them an opportunity to get classes so they
okay.
can learn how to become good parents. They can also learn life skills. And they earn baby supplies and household goods while they're taking those classes.
Oh, that's fun.
And all of our services are free
mm-hmm.
because of the churches, the businesses, and the individuals
mm-hmm.
who donate to our ministry.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say is the biggest arena of growth that you've seen since you took Life Choices on as a leader?
I would say that the community awareness has really become quite a bit larger than we had 6 years ago. And because of that, we have more clients and we have also more supporters. Thank God for that.
Yeah. So you did a different kind of fundraiser this year. You had previously you do the baby bottle boomerang, but with COVID, everything was kind of shut down. You went a little different route. What'd you do?
Yes. So, well, we actually did offer the baby bottles to those churches that thought they could pull that off. And so there were a few churches that actually did that. But we also offered an online option. And so we did a number of different videos and things, and we sent out several emails and then we had some flyers that some of the churches would, you know, put up on screen because a lot of them were doing online gatherings.
Right.
And so we met with our life ambassadors. Those are the liaisons between Life Choices and the church. And, you know, we had a pretty hefty goal. It was $58,000.
Wow.
And that was substantially higher than what we had done in the past. And so I got some pushback from a few people that said, is that really feasible? And, you know, with COVID and everything and churches shut down and doing the online thing. And I said, you know, it's a goal, but let's just see what God does. And so sure enough, God showed up in a big way. Wow. And we ended up surpassing that $58,000 goal. So
that's amazing.
It was amazing.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So your board set out several years ago to begin looking at this, whether it's, I don't know if it's a program or what you would call it, but with IdaHope Families. So give us a background on that. What is IdaHope Families?
So IdaHope Families is a team of caring people, organizations, and churches who have a shared vision to see families in crisis find hope, help, and healing. And so IdaHope Families is our ministry name, but we really are involved with the Safe Families for Children movement.
Okay.
And so Safe Families for Children is a national movement.
Okay.
But we're the North Idaho chapter.
So what is Safe Families for Children? What's kind of the focus?
The focus is similar, that they want to see families in crisis find the hope and the help that they need to bring stability back to the home while keeping children safe during a crisis and keeping the families intact.
Okay, now that's really important because a lot of situations arise where the families can't stay intact.
Yes.
Right? And so tell us a little bit about, like, how did it come on your radar? Like, how did this come about?
Well, it, as I mentioned before, it was birthed from the client's needs of Life Choices. Mm-hmm. And what we were finding over the last several years was that, first of all, the women that come to us, they want to choose life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wakes up in the morning with a desire to get an abortion. They don't. They feel forced into it by their circumstances.
Okay.
And so the women that come to us want to find a way to choose life, but many times they just don't see that as an option.
Okay.
And so we help them to see that there are other options. And not only are these options viable, but that we have support systems that can help them.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, the board began to pursue this goal of getting involved with the Safe Families for Children Network. How did all that come about?
Well, it was birthed out of the needs of our Life Choices clients. Mm-hmm. And women come to us because they want to choose life. They don't desire to get an abortion. They simply feel forced into it by their circumstances. And so when they come to us, we're able to help them for the pregnancy and about the first 3 to 4 years of the baby's life, mm-hmm. where we can come alongside them and be a support. But Life Choices was never designed to be a long-term ministry.
Okay.
Our intention was always to get them connected to a community, preferably community in the church, where sure. they could get the support that they needed for long term, so that they could be great parents long term, so right. that they'd get the support for their children mm-hmm. as well. And so it's just not been very successful.
Okay.
And so what we found is that the women would come to us and we'd do very well for that first 3 to 4 years. And then with them not getting connected to the church, there wasn't an opportunity for long-term change.
Wow. Okay.
And so they find themselves going back to some old habits and some old friends and some
Boy,
things.
Yeah.
They begin to go, you know, back to some dysfunctional scenarios and some potentially dangerous,
okay.
risky scenarios. Mm-hmm. And so then they end up coming to us with another crisis because we're a place that they feel safe with and they know that we will love them and that we will try to help them. And so we've had women come to us with, you know, later there's a domestic violence situation or substance abuse situation,
mm-hmm.
Or it's a reoccurring substance abuse situation. And then we've also encountered recently in the last 3 years or so, more and more women coming to us initially with the unplanned pregnancy, but also dealing with homelessness.
Okay.
And so we were just at our wit's end and going, how can we help? And in all those cases, we would seek out help from the church mm-hmm. because there was no other resource locally that could help these clients with these situations. And so in most cases, we were able to get them the help through the okay. church, but it would take weeks in order to get that set up. And in the meantime, the children are at risk mm-hmm. and the moms and sometimes even the fathers of the baby are in a bad situation. And so we just knew that this is not the way God wants this to happen.
Yeah.
And we felt responsible
okay.
because, you know, we were encouraging them and saying, hey, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no long-term support for it.
Wow.
So we began to look at opportunities to create the system of support that was needed. And we thought, well, gosh, we'll just create it in the church. And so we started down that road and realized, this is going to take about 10 years.
Wow.
And so we just went back to praying and saying, okay, God, what is it that we're missing? What is it that you want us to get connected to? And Save Families for Children popped up on the radar.
Wow. Yeah. So it pops up on the radar. And clearly the need is there, right? Like was it overwhelming?
Oh, yes.
Like, okay. Yeah. It's always amazing to me, like the effect of not seeing something ever. And then it's like when you buy the new car in blue and then you see the same car in blue everywhere. Like right. once you're aware of it, it's hard not to notice it.
Yes.
In so many different places. Was that something that was happening for you where you just started seeing it pop up all over the place?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. So what does Idaho families do, right? Like what specifically services are provided and mm-hmm. what happens there?
Well, we've adopted this system of support from mm-hmm. Safe Families for Children. And really what they've done is they've created a system where it's called a circle of support.
Okay.
So you don't just have one person or one family coming alongside the family in crisis, but you have a team of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So the system of support is made up of really 3 to 4 different roles.
Okay.
The first one is a host family, mm-hmm. and a host family is a family who is vetted
okay.
and trained
okay.
to take children into their home during a crisis situation on a temporary basis. And sometimes they take the parents in as well, but that's, you know, based on the circumstances. And so then the host family is joined by the family coach, who is also a trained individual, to come alongside the host family and the family in crisis and encourage them, support them through the process of attaining the goals that that they set in order to get out of the crisis and bring stability back. And then you have family friends and resource friends who come alongside these two families with different resources. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's a special skill set, a mechanic or a plumber or something like that. And then you have a family friend who just comes alongside the parents in crisis to say, hey, I'm going to be there with you through this. And, you know, I'm going to walk with you and be supportive and encouraging.
Man, we all need cheerleaders.
Yeah.
We all need people who are in our corner advocating for our success. I don't care who you are, you know, we all need that. That's great. Did you find that this would be, has it classically been in any type of competition or in any type of contention or conflict with the social work from the government with CPS or child or health and welfare here? You know, and that would normally, I think people would think would normally step into some of these situations.
Right.
So what's that, how's that play out and what's the relationship like?
Yeah, it's been really wonderful actually. When we looked at the Safe Families model, we realized that, wow, this is not only going to help Life Choices clients, but it could extend to the entire community.
Wow.
And so we then immediately said, we need to contact health and welfare, foster care, CASA, and start talking about what we can potentially offer in the community. And so we did that, and they were super excited because foster care has their limitations, right? They help families that the children have already been abused, abandoned, or neglected, and they do amazing work. My hat is off to them. They're incredible. And CASA as well. They're fantastic volunteers, and they do a great, great job. And so we said to them, hey, we're not looking to get into the foster care arena. In fact, those that started Safe Families were in the foster care arena, and they realized that, boy, there's about 70 to 80% of the calls coming into health and welfare that foster care can't help.
Wow.
And yet these people are clearly in crisis.
Clearly.
And their children are at risk. And so they said, we need to leave foster care and let them continue doing what they do well. And we need to start a ministry through the church where we can have this system of support where people who want to see families be successful and children kept safe, and then build this circle of support where we can come alongside the families who are experiencing these crises so that their children don't end up getting abused, neglected, or abandoned.
That's amazing.
And so foster care loved it. They were like, we not only do we love the prevention piece, but they also saw the capacity for our family friends and our family coaches to even walk alongside foster parents for respite care.
Okay.
And then also to help those parents that the state did temporarily take their children away from them.
Oh, okay.
And we can walk alongside them to help them to get their children back. And then once they do get their children back, we can continue that relationship and help them to be successful.
Especially, you know, to me, I mean, having a coach is so huge.
Yeah.
You know, having a family friend, difference that support mechanism seems like it would be, it's rare. We don't naturally come by it oftentimes, especially, you know, what we end up having in our support network are the same support network that got us into the problem, right? Or got us into the crisis, or was the culture that birthed the crisis. Right. And so being able to step into a different atmosphere, a different environment. I'm always amazed at how many people change when they're no longer surrounded in the same environment.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, things like Freedom House's Safe and Sober program is so powerful, because you just get out of the old environments because you need to get sober and you need to be safe. And so this is actually allowing the families, if they're possible, to stay together, or to allow for the kids to be safe while the parents get their stuff together.
That's
good. Right? Am I kind of summarizing that a little bit? So what's been the biggest challenge to getting this off the ground here in Sandpoint, North Idaho? Like, what's the challenge that you find, you know, with, because I think most people would look at this and go, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it like stirs up something in people going, oh man, we need this. This is great. But then you probably are faced with some bigger challenges.
We have faced several challenges. The first one was that we weren't aware that Idaho code would not allow us to host families unless we were a licensed child agency with the state. And so we had to have several conversations.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So we had to have several conversations with the deputy directors in Boise.
Great.
And Sage Dixon, our congressman, was phenomenal in facilitating a meeting with them and us. And we had an opportunity to just share what we're looking to do. And they, on the licensing side as well as the programming side, said, this is so great and it's so needed. We have to figure out a way to make it work.
Wow.
And so that's what we do. And then with the family friends and the family coach, we have them go through a background check as well. If they're going to be left alone with children, let's say they're, you know, transporting children from host family to school or something along those lines, they have to go through the same vetting process as the host family members.
Wow, okay.
And then a family coach will go through that vetting process as well, because the coach most likely will be left alone with the children, but will also be part of the process of getting the parents in crisis back to a place of stability.
Okay.
And so they were very pleased with our vetting process. And, you know, they thought, well, this is exactly what we were hoping you guys would be doing. And so it was a non-issue.
Wow. That's great. That's great. So how's it going?
It's going well. The relationship between health and welfare and IdaHope is great. We work very well together.
Good.
We've worked on a couple of cases together, but primarily IdaHope wants to be in the prevention arena.
Okay.
So we want to just help.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. We want to help the families who are facing crises that they can't solve on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we want to help get rid of social isolation. There's a lot of social isolation, especially after COVID. And that is the number one cause of abuse, neglect, and abandonment, is this social isolation piece. And so bringing community around families in crisis is just huge. Letting them know that they don't ever have to do anything alone, that we have a support system that will walk with them, you know, from now on, as long as it takes.
Right. Wow. So when you look at the process that you're in, you've been able to work on some cases. What would you say right now is kind of your biggest need as you look forward, as you continue to push toward this vision of IdaHope families really being a preventative measure, not just an in-crisis measure of help? What's the big need that you have right now?
I would say we need more volunteers.
Okay.
So we're going to the churches and explaining that, you know, this is what we do. It's a new ministry, but it's part of a movement that is nationwide. It's actually in the UK and Canada as well, Safe Families for Children.
Okay.
And there's 120 chapters, and we're in 70 U.S. cities. So Idaho didn't have it before we started, and so we're the first. We and Treasure Valley is starting one. As well. So we're the we're the two pioneers in Idaho. And so it's going
go
well,
North
but
Idaho.
Yeah, go North Idaho. But the need is really for when we go to the church, I think people love the idea, but have a hard time maybe wrapping their brain around the various roles. I think they hear host family and they just go, uh-oh, I can't bring unknown people into my house, right? So it's a challenge. And we have four host families right now.
Okay.
And they're raring to go, and you know, they've hosted a few times already. But we need more because we are the North Idaho chapter, which means we're not only going to cover Bonner County, but we're going to do Boundary and Kootenai as well. And so there's a great need out there.
Wow.
And okay. We need more cool. volunteers to step into That's these
great.
Roles.
That's great. Okay, so if I'm interested in playing a role, whether mm-hmm. it's being a coach or a friend or a host, obviously I've got to go through a vetting process. Mm-hmm. I've got to be willing to have the FBI background checked and all my potential criminal history checked in on.
Right.
And outside of that, what are some of the things that you really look for? Obviously people who are willing to do all that are interested, but how would you characterize the type of person that you're looking for to do this ministry?
Well, it's really important that they feel like it's something that God really is inviting them into.
Okay, so they got to have a sense of calling to it.
They do.
Maybe a burden for it or really
yes.
passionate about it. Okay.
Yes, that's really important
okay.
because it's not easy work.
Mm.
It's really not. Mm-hmm. And there will be sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Host families probably sacrifice the most out of all the roles. But every role you'll have a sacrifice. But also your eyes will be open to the reality of what families are dealing with, and
right.
that's hard. That's really hard for the general average person to really take a look at. We want to kind of sort of ignore that it's there, and when it's reality, it's hard. It's hard to deal with.
Yeah, you know, we really can't avoid the reality of. We can't avoid the reality of what people are going through. And we have to be able to look at it. We have to be able to acknowledge it and
yeah.
then step in.
Yes.
And so that's really wonderful. I think that sense of burden, we usually don't get that until we look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, oh, that's a real thing. Like, I never noticed the blue Nissan until I drove a blue Nissan, right? Mm. Like, whatever it is, you know? So... when you consider the concept of sacrifices, I always remember to weigh that out with what ultimately what is the fruit?
Yeah.
Like what is the payoff? Because is it really a sacrifice when you look back and you had a hard season, but man, what amazing things came out of it? And
yes.
I would just encourage people watching. You know, to consider if you're a believer in Jesus or you're involved in your local church and you're interested in making an impact in some lives and changing the trajectory of an entire family.
Yes.
This is one of those ways that people can just get boots on the ground and go and do it.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah. families have been struggling with crises forever.
Ever.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, way before mm. health and welfare got the job,
right?
It used to be the church.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, God really calls the church, his
okay.
people, to do this, mm-hmm. to come alongside other people. We've all heard that Good Samaritan, you know,
uh-huh.
parable, and
mm-hmm.
and we all know that we're to love our neighbor as ourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's easily said, but not easily lived out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's you know, a point where we definitely know that not everybody is going to be built for this.
Right.
right? And not everybody is going to feel a call or a burden to it.
Right.
And so that's not who you're looking for, right? You're looking for those people that are really passionate and would be really willing to put some things on the line to step in there. I would be interested, how would somebody, if they're feeling passionate about it, well, how would they go about pursuing being a mentor, a coach, a family friend, or a host family? What's the process as far as just getting in touch?
Well, they can call us, and mm-hmm. our number is 208-295-SAFE,
okay,
or 7233, mm-hmm. or they can go to our website, idahopefamilies.org, and on that website, there's a tab that says Get Involved, and they can click on that tab, and it will give them an explanation of the various roles and then an opportunity to apply,
okay,
or request more information. And once they do that, then we connect with them and we give a little more thorough explanation of each of the various roles.
Okay.
And then mm-hmm. once they decide which role they want to get involved in, then we start the process of training as well as vetting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And then, how long does that process usually take, the vetting and training?
It varies for each of the roles, okay, and it depends on how much time a person can put into it initially. So for a family friend, you know, someone who's not going to be left alone with children, the vetting process is fairly simple. There's a simple background check, and then they go through about 5 hours or so mm-hmm. of online mm-hmm. training, and then we go through an interview with them face to face, and then a little bit more face to face training, or you know, on the job role playing or something like that, and then they're in. So okay, it depends on how quickly they can get through that training.
All right.
A host family is obviously more involved, mm-hmm. so yeah, they have more training, they have more vetting, and a family coach as well.
Okay. And when you consider kind of the next steps with Idahope Families and what your needs are, how can the community at large support what you're doing?
There's all kinds of opportunities for the community at large. So, you know, keeping an eye out, right, for these families mm-hmm. that are facing crises.
Okay.
So we get referrals from all over, police stations, school counselors, health and welfare, of course. Some people self-refer. We get some of our clients through Life Choices Pregnancy Center.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, through the church. Like, there's a lot of people that will go initially to the church, a church, asking for help. And, you know, sometimes the church doesn't have the structure or the capacity to help certain families in mm-hmm. certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep an eye out and be aware that help is available through Idahope okay. Families. And if you want to donate, you can certainly donate. And okay. there's an opportunity for that on our website mm-hmm. or send us a check in the mail.
Right.
But yeah, there's... I think the awareness is really key
okay.
because there are so many families that are sort of out in the fringe, you know, and once you come upon them, it would be great for you to know, for them to know that there's a place that can help.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, man, I'm wondering what else is there that you'd like to share, anything else around Idahope Families or Life Choices Pregnancy Center that you feel would be, you know, beneficial, maybe a call to action, something for the people watching today that are curious or interested. What else would you like to share?
I think it's important for people to know that, just because we're a ministry of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we are going to push our religion or our beliefs
sure.
on anyone else.
Okay.
And that we don't discriminate for any reason.
Okay.
We will help anyone who comes to us with a need that we are equipped to serve.
Yeah.
And that we don't make a judgment either way. Okay. You know, people who are in crisis, whether it's a pregnancy or some other crisis, it can happen to any one of us.
Yes.
And I myself have been in crisis many times and have needed help. And it's not a shameful thing to ask for help. That's at least so it shouldn't be.
That's so good to hear. Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's really important that people know who's available. You know, you don't have to fit into a box to get the help.
Right.
That's great. That's great. Well, Christine, as you look ahead, what's kind of your biggest hope for Ida Hope? Like, what do you, what's the thing that you're really hoping happens? And give us a little bit of a vision for what's to come next.
I really hope that the people in the church will hear the invitation from God to step into some of these roles and reclaim the position that God originally gave the church.
Okay.
And that is to walk alongside our neighbors in the community and offer our unconditional love and help and build relationships that are trusting and relationships that are lasting.
So as a, if someone's not a believer and they're listening to the conversation around serving in, you know, being maybe they've really got a passion for it and they want to do that, are you open to those conversations?
Yes. So Safe Families for Children does not discriminate against volunteers coming in who for any reason, the other than safety. And so what they have discerned is that it's unsafe for volunteers who are isolated, right? We want to get rid of this isolation piece in the community. And yet if we have volunteers that are isolated, that's not going to work. So part of the structure for these volunteers is that they have a regular training. And so it's training and support on a regular basis, pretty much quarterly. We'll get the various roles together, and they are in a church environment. And so the church says, you can use our facility, and we will have these ministry leads that will champion this training and support opportunity. And so they come into this program where they're meeting quarterly, and they're getting the support that they need. They're talking about what were some wins, what were some real fails, how can we do this better? And then we, as the Safe Families North Idaho chapter, will implement some continued training for them. And so that's a vital part of this volunteer role. So if if you have someone who's not in a church, then as long as they're willing to come under the umbrella of a church for these training and support systems, then they have the opportunity.
That's great. I just think it's important. We have so many compassionate, mercy-filled people that live here. You know, so many people that have, they don't want to have anything to do with church.
Right.
But they love people. You know, they've got a, you know, deep heart. So I was just, you know, thinking about how many people that, that could get involved. So that's great. That's great. You know, one of the things that, you know, as a pastor, as somebody in the community of faith that I find extremely important is making sure that we are providing everyone in the opportunity to get into the flow of what it's like to serve each other and to walk out this place where we're loving each other. Out of a place of not what's in it for me, but to give freely, right, and to receive freely. So that's awesome. That's really good. So Christine, when we look also ahead, how do you have a number of how many people you want to have added on as host families this year? Do you kind of have a goal?
Yes, my goal would be to have 10 host families.
Okay, so you need six more.
We need six more.
Okay, so we're just going to put that out there. Right. It's only we're only looking for six. So for the people out there that are like, oh, no, those tons of people will do that. Stop.
Yeah.
Don't dismiss what that heart tug you just had.
Yeah.
Because that heart tug was likely you're one of the six.
Yes.
Right. So just putting that out there for all of you out there that watch this and go, oh, yeah, somebody else will get it. That's not how it works.
No. And right. Family, friends, that's a role that is, it's so flexible that
great.
Virtually anyone over the age of 20 can be a family friend. There cool. is an age limit, but yeah. So, I mean, it could be anything as simple as, oh, I'm going to sign up to pray for the families that are in crisis. And cool. that's my role. You know, I'm a prayer warrior or whatever it is. And
cool.
so that's a family friend and with a specific task. Or, you know, it can be, I got some extra time. I want to engage with the mom in crisis mm-hmm. or the dad in crisis. Mm-hmm. And I want to hang out and maybe fish or go to coffee and offer a listening ear and
great.
Just be a friend to someone who needs cool. one. So there's all kinds. You know, we had a woman who she's a dog boarder and trainer.
Okay.
And she said, you know, I have three littles at home and my husband works a ton of hours and we have a tiny house. And so
lacking capacity.
But okay. she said, I want to do what I can do. She said, yeah. I can offer free pet boarding if that helps. And I said, you'd be surprised at how many people we encounter that are wow. homeless but have a pet.
Wow.
Because, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why someone would be homeless, mm-hmm. right? It's and you know, most of the time it's a temporary situation.
Yeah, temporary, yep.
And so we actually took her up on it. Cool. We had a 2-week boarding for a dog for a family that was homeless and needed to go into a host family and they didn't have capacity to take the pet. And so, yeah, we took her up on it. Wow. So a family friend can be virtually anything.
That's so great. That's so great. So great. Well, awesome. Awesome. I'm super glad that you got to come on as we kind of wrap up our conversation. Final thoughts.
I'm so grateful to be in a community like this where people genuinely care about one another. And I'm grateful that you have this platform where we can share yeah. the things that are going on in the community because there's some really wonderful things happening.
Yeah, I realize more and more that in a world filled with negativity, we need the opportunity to celebrate
yeah.
the good things that are going on. And when we break down what's happening around here, it's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty good. So I'm excited for this next season for the show. I'm excited for the next season at Ida Hope Families. And of course, you know, tell your amazing husband hi.
I will.
From us. And we're grateful to have you on. And with that, we're going to sign off.
Okay.
And I'll just say to, you know, everybody watching, wherever you are at, keep Ida Hope Families in your hearts. And consider how you can give, how you could support or serve or do something with this amazing organization. And with that, we will be back again next week with another episode. If you enjoy the episode, like, share, make sure that you're a subscriber and get the word out. We're going to have a lot of shows. If you know somebody that you think needs to have a sit down conversation here and get their message out of good things going on or different situations happening, just make sure you tag them in the post or message the Bonner Breakdown and we'll get that person up there so they can come on the show and sit in. So with that, thank you much. You guys have a great day. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
Yep.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find out more about this podcast at BonnerBreakdown.com. You can also support this show and get personal video updates and thoughts from our host at patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown. Thank you for joining us in the conversation.